following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Wanna take a ride? Broadcasting from the sprawling outskirts of the Florida Everglades in the intellectual wilderness of South Florida, the outer regions of humanity, just because it doesn't snow. This is the Nicole Sandler Show.
All right. Welcome to a Friday. We've made it. It is the 20th of December. I'm Nicole Sandler, and welcome to the show. Perhaps you saw the big Democratic debate last night from Los Angeles. Yes, it was Loyola Marymount University. There were seven candidates on the stage. Eight had qualified. Kamala Harris was the eighth, but she dropped out, so she is wasn't there, obviously. So it was, let's see if I can do this from memory, in order of allegedly the polls: Joe Biden, Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, Pete Buttigieg, Amy Klobuchar, Andrew Yang, and Tom Steyer. Or maybe I got the last two backwards. Tom Steyer, Andrew Yang. And that's important because they almost went to Andrew Yang before Tom Steyer for his opening question, and then they realized they made a mistake in the order, and they interrupted Yang and went to Steyer, and you know, it is what it was. It was an interesting debate, possibly better than some we've seen before, but still not good. We'll get into all that. The reason, actually, if you're watching or listening to the live show, we started a couple of minutes early today, and that's because right at the stroke of three, the phone is supposed to ring, and it's supposed to be Tom Steyer. Now, I've tried to get Tom Steyer on this program before and was told that's not going to happen. He's just not available. Now, to be frank, as honest as I always am, I haven't tried since he threw his hat in the ring and decided to run for president, for a number of reasons that I won't get into right now. But I tried to have him on before he even did need to impeach. I just wanted to talk to him about his Next Gen America climate initiative, because I thought that was a worthwhile cause. I thought that was a worthy goal. But yeah, that's not what happened. And I was told he's not available. If I wanted to speak to somebody else within Next Gen, we could do that. But again, yeah, that didn't happen either. So this is how this happened. I actually was offered a few minutes with Tom Steyer today. The pitch was he'll be at the debate Thursday night, and he's available for a short interview Friday after the debate to talk about it. I said, that'd be great. I'd love to have him on. And so there, he's got an hour of time available in his busy day. And so they offered me a certain time slot to tape it earlier in the day. And I said, sure, let's do it. And then it kept getting jockeyed around to where finally they said, you know, the only time available is right at 3 o'clock Eastern. I said, that's fine. I'll take it. We'll do it live. Fuck it. We'll do it live. And then I realized, well, you know what? I'm not live on Progressive Voices yet. I don't have to start exactly at three. So I figured we'd start a few minutes earlier to get, so I could get started, so that the minute he calls at 3 o'clock, we can get him right up on the air. So I'm just watching for the phone to ring. Now, before he comes on, let me tell you what I've said before about Tom Steyer. Seems like a good guy. He seems to be in it for the right reasons, except he can't possibly win. I mean, come on, did you see him last night? Really, on the debate stage. He just, there's no charisma. There's no momentum. There's nothing there to make me go, that's the guy I want to vote for, right? And what's really upsetting is, you know, when he decided that he was going to run for president, I learned about it by an article. Oh, and here he is. So let's just, my mouse isn't working. Come on. All right. Oh, shoot. Oh, no. Hello?
Hi, yes, is the operator calling to connect Nicole Sandler with Tom Steyer?
That's me. I'm ready for him.
Okay, one moment. He's just finishing up his last interview, and just to let you know, he has a hard stop at 10 after.
Got it. We're ready.
Thank you.
All right, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay, so we're live on the air. As soon as he comes on, we'll talk to him. But basically, what I've said, and I've said it numerous times, is that, you know, anyway, the New York Times article, this is what I started to say, the headline. Oh, here.
Excuse me, Nicole, you're now joined with Tom Steyer.
Terrific. Hey, Tom, it's Nicole Sandler. It's nice to meet you.
Nicole, nice to meet you, too.
Thank you so much for making yourself available. I really appreciate it. As I was telling the we are live on the air, by the way. As I was telling the listeners, I tried to get you on the show a few years ago, shortly after you founded Next Gen America, to talk about your climate initiatives and the work you were doing, because I thought it was really wonderful. You were never available, so we never connected. And so, once again, I'm thrilled that that you're here with us now. So,
me too.
So, we saw the debate last night. How do you think you did?
Look, anytime I get a chance to make my case to millions of Americans is a great night for me.
Okay.
Honestly. And that's how I see those debates. It's a chance for me to tell people why I'm running, which is basically we have a broken government that's been bought by corporations, and why I think I'm the person who can take it back for the people.
Now,
you know what my history is?
Yeah, tell us.
So, you know, that is just a great chance for me, Nicole, and I loved it.
Okay. Well, good. And look, I believe you're in it for the right reasons, but let's put all the cards on the table here. Do you see a path to the nomination for Tom Steyer?
Yes. The day I can't, I quit.
Really?
So, Nicole, I'm not doing this to make a point. I believe that I have something to say that's differential, and that I have a different history, and I have a different story to tell than everybody else on that stage. And so I believe that when Americans hear that, I mean, I'm not a famous person.
No.
I really am not.
Right.
And so I'm doing everything I can to put that in front of Americans because I really feel like it's necessary. And I'll give you an example. I'm the only person on that stage who will say that climate's my number one priority.
Okay.
The only one.
Right. I agree.
Everybody knows it's a priority, but I'm the only person who will say it's my number one priority. I'll declare a state of emergency on day one. I'll do it from the standpoint of environmental justice. But you know something, Nicole? I've done it from the standpoint of environmental justice. I've done this for a decade. I'm not just talking about it. I know that unless you start in the communities, predominantly African-American, Latino, where you can't drink the water that comes out of the tap or breathe the air safely, unless you start with leadership from those communities, you don't get the right policy. And I know that you don't have the right coalition.
Mm-hmm.
And I've done this for over a decade, and that's why we've won. So when I'm talking about climate and when I'm talking about what it's going to take, I'm not making it up or reading a book. I've been doing it for over a decade and beating these corporations and pushing clean energy for over a decade. And it's the number one priority. Look, why am I doing this? Because somebody has to do it. Because we have to take this crisis and deal with it and turn it into an opportunity to rebuild this country and reinvent this country in terms of job creation and supporting unions and paying people fairly and also leading the world again, because it's a global problem, and only the United States can bring the leadership to actually solve a crisis that involves not just us, but every other country on the planet.
Right. Now, I agree with everything you just said, Tom Steyer, and I love your passion and the fact that you jumped into this. You founded Next Gen America back in 2013. You're putting your money where your mouth is. But again, I need to question, you're on a stage last night with six other candidates who are running, and there's still another 10 or so out there who are allegedly running. And you think Tom Steyer, the guy who you just said, I'm not famous. You have no background in politics. You have no track record other than, well, you built a business. You did Next Gen America. You started NeedToImpeach.com, which I know you spent a lot of money on and built a huge mailing list. But again, I'm looking at the poll numbers. Realistically, you think you have a path to the presidency. I'm sitting here in Florida, and I'm reading your website, which, by the way, is tomsteyer.com, S-T-E-Y-E-R. And right
Thank you, Nicole.
Sure. And right on the homepage, you have Meet Tom Steyer, and there's Tom's story. And you, I read the whole thing. It's a fascinating story. You've got a great story to tell. You've lived a wonderful life. You've been very successful. You get down to the bottom of the page, and it says, Tom wants to hear from you. Tell him your story. So, Tom, I want to tell you my story, if it's okay. I'm a 60-year-old woman, just had my birthday last month. I've been in radio my entire adult life. I studied radio in college. I had a successful career in New York, in Los Angeles, moved back to South Florida when my child was starting kindergarten, and I raised her down here. 10 years ago, I was doing a nightly program on Air America Radio, a progressive talk radio network. And 10 years ago, a month from tomorrow, on January 21st, 2020, the same day that the Supreme Court ruled on Citizens United and said money equals speech and, you know, corporations are people, my friend, Air America Radio went off the air. This followed a decade earlier, the Telecommunications Act of 1996, signed by Bill Clinton, by the way, which opened up the floodgates for consolidation, meaning one owner could own many, many radio stations and television stations in a single market. And then technology happened. The internet came in, and something called voice tracking happened. And one person can sit in a studio in one city and do a radio show in any other city in the world, and people think they're in the studio there. It destroyed my industry, radio, that I love, to the point where I'm unemployable. So when Air America Radio went off the air 10 years ago, I moved online, and that's what I do today. The radio airwaves back in the days of the Fairness Doctrine used to be fair. We'd hear all viewpoints expressed on the radio. It was mandated by law that present opposing points of view. That doesn't exist anymore, and now the airwaves are dominated by the right. I saw a newspaper article, Tom, July 9th, 2019, in the New York Times, and the headline read, Tom Steyer will run for president and plans to spend $100 million on his bid. I'm thrilled of your success, that you have $100 million that you can just spend on what I perceive as a quixotic quest for the presidency. What we could do with $100 million to get progressive media back on the airwaves in this country, to give people like me a livelihood again, to get our voices heard where we're now drowned out, I wanted to get that across to you because I think you could do so much with this money. You could be the head of the Environmental Protection Agency under a President Sanders or a President Warren and do what you need to do, what I think you can do so well. But you could use that money to help get our voices heard rather than, you know, spend it on television ads that I'm sorry, I'm nothing if not honest. They're not going to get you elected president.
Can I respond to this?
Please, one? I'm done.
So let me start back with where you started.
Okay.
You said I have no background. Actually, I've spent a decade putting together coalitions to take on these corporations.
Mm-hmm.
And we've passed laws. We've passed clean energy laws. I've taken on the tobacco companies and passed a $2 a pack cigarette tax that raises $3 to $4 billion a year that goes directly to Medi-Cal. I've closed a $1 billion corporate tax loophole and given the money to the public schools. I've passed clean energy, 50% clean energy, in three states outside of California. So, in fact, I've worked with activists to prevent pipelines and to prevent the building of fossil fuel plants. Actually, I've had a history of success of taking on these corporations as an outsider over a decade.
Okay.
Secondly, in terms of the polls, if you actually look at last Monday's poll in the four early primary states, I think it's called the Morning Consult poll, I'm at an average of 10%. I've been in this race for less than half the time of most of the people, and I've consistently moved up. And the last thing I'll say is this. I started one of the biggest grassroots organizations in the country, which is Next Gen America.
Mm-hmm.
In 2018, we did the biggest youth voter mobilization in American history. I'm still supporting it. NextGen has a deal with 7 national labor unions to go door to door. We've knocked on over 25 million doors in the last 2 election cycles, and I'm still funding that. So for all the people who are worried that, in fact, what I'm doing is just running for president, I'm doing all the grassroots stuff that I've been doing for a decade, supporting it. I'm not legally allowed to run them anymore, but we're still doing it. I'm still supporting the Need to Impeach movement that I started. So, in fact, you're concerned that all I'm doing is running for president. Actually, it's not an either
or. No, I'm concerned about the fact that progressive voices are being drowned out of the air. We have no voice. Fox News and right-wing talk radio control the airwaves. We need to be heard, and you can do that. You can make that happen, Tom Steyer.
But what I'm trying to do and what I believe in is that we're going to have to retake the government of the United States.
Without a doubt.
That's the way we're going to do all of this. And so that's why I'm doing this grassroots organizing. That's why I've been doing it. That's why I've been fighting these corporations. That's why I'm running for president, because I'm trying with everything I can to take back this government for the people so we can break the corporate stranglehold on our democracy that's killing you and killing me and killing everybody else.
All right. Well, I hope you heard what I said. I hear what you're saying.
I hope you heard what I said.
You
know that my mother came out of college and was a reporter, and then she wrote the Evening News, and then she produced the NBC Evening News?
Well, then
you
you've
I
got
didn't hear growing up,
Donald
you
Trump.
You think I didn't hear growing up the absolute sanctity of news and the Fourth Estate, and that if we're going to have a democracy, we need clean reporting, and that that is a calling, not a business?
Well,
I've heard that since I was in diapers.
Okay, but we do not. We have a president calling the press the enemy of the people. The media has been vilified.
And I'm doing everything I can to retake this government for the people, because that's the answer to that is the thing we have to do for the thing you're worried about, and for climate, and for to get a affordable health care as a right for Americans. That's exactly what I'm trying to do. Retake this government for the people so we can actually serve the people again and not the corporations. Absolutely.
Okay. All right.
That's what I'm doing all the time.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. It was nice to talk to you again.
No, Nicole, it's wonderful to talk to you. I'd love to meet you face to face.
Would love that too. I'm in South Florida. When you get down here, we have a date.
And I would also love to wish you and everybody else a joyous and loving holiday season.
Thank you very much. The same to you.
Too.
All right.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay. Well, you know, I can't say that I expected anything different. I said what I had to say. And on his website, I guess I could have taken a step further. I could have been the bitch that my inner bitch I could have let out and told him. I mean, I think I said it pretty plainly, he's not going to win. There's no chance in hell that Tom Steyer gets the Democratic nomination to run for president. It ain't going to happen. And yet, I pull up this July 9th, 2019 New York Times article. Tom Steyer will run for president and plans to spend $100 million on his bid. So on his website, TomSteyer.com, as I told you, you go in the front page, you know, meet Tom, and then you get Tom's story, and you scroll all the way down, and it says, Tom wants to hear from you. Tell him your story. That's why I told him my story, because he asked on his website. He asked. So, but it gives you a place to write your story to Tom. So knowing that I only had 10 minutes, I know he wasn't listening. He didn't listen to a word. Well, he heard it when in one ear and out the other. It was sort of like, and I love Elizabeth Warren, but she didn't answer a damn question last night. She, you know, she was playing politician and she answered the questions that she wanted to answer. Sound familiar? Anyway, so knowing that he might not hear me, I actually filled out this form. And so I shared my thoughts with Tom, and let me share with you what I wrote, because I was obviously rambling and trying to get it out in my allotted time. So I wrote, Hi, Tom. I'm a 60-year-old woman. I've had a long and mostly successful career in radio, but thanks to the Telecommunications Act of 1996, which opened the floodgates of consolidation and new technology that allows for voice tracking from one city to another, I'm virtually unemployable. When Air America Radio went under 10 years ago next month, on January 21st, 2010, the same day the Supreme Court ruled on Citizens United, I moved my show online and have been there ever since. My income was slashed drastically, And as a cancer survivor, I was unable to obtain health insurance. Thanks to the Affordable Care Act, I have insurance, though it's hardly affordable. We have a problem with the media in this country. Although Republicans persist in gaslighting America as they refer to the liberal media, in reality, the media is controlled by right-wing forces. They've taken over the radio waves, the TV dial, and cable too. As a progressive talk host, there are just no jobs for me. There's a handful of over-the-air radio stations left on the dial that air a progressive point of view, but you can't escape from Rush Limbaugh and his ilk on a coast-to-coast drive. Again, this is what I wrote to Tom Steyer, sent in through his website. You said you'd spend $100 million on a presidential campaign that you cannot win. Why not put that money to constructive use and fund a progressive media center or a network to elevate progressive voices? We could really use your help right about now, certainly more than we need another old white dude on a quixotic quest for the White House. Please do the right thing and help us. Signed, Nicole Sandler. So if you're listening, I invite you to go to tomsteyer.com. At the top of the page, you'll see it says, Meet Tom. And under Meet Tom, there's Tom's story. And you scroll all the way down to the bottom of Tom's story, and you can write a note as well. How about we all join forces and tell him to stop this already? That there's no fucking way in the world. But you notice I was polite. I was cordial. I didn't curse. I didn't yell. I didn't say you cannot win, even though he cannot win. I told him I didn't think he could win. And he actually said he sees a path to the nomination. And he said when he sees that goes away, he leaves the race. We need to convince him to leave the race. This is insane. All right. It's just you and me for the rest of the hour, by the way. So if you want to weigh in on anything you heard, on anything Tom Steyer said, on anything you heard in the debate last night, I got a lot of debate audio I can share with you. We can do that. But let's do this. I need to take a deep breath after that, and I think we could all use a bit of laughter. So I've actually got two bits to play. We'll start with, where's that first? Okay. We'll start with a very quick, Stephen Colbert cold open, and then we'll segue into one of the latest projects from the Parody Project. They're at parodyproject.com. Because, we can. And you gotta laugh, because if you don't laugh, well, you know. Here we go.
Harvey Messrs. Trump, we condemn. We're here to say Trump is guilty for obstructing, quid pro quoing, power abuse, must cut him loose. Bang. Articles two, that's bang. Just a few. There's more to add. That makes him bad. Cheats on his wife, also second wife, and the third wife.
Merry, merry Trump impeachment. Merry, merry, merry Trump impeachment. Merry, merry, merry Trump impeachment.
Bing, 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 bong.
Love it.
Frosty the Snowman doesn't have the climate blues. He supports the president, all he says, and the rest is just fake news. Frosty the Snowman thinks the liberals are snowflakes, that they brainwashed all the scientists just to try and raise the stakes. Others try to prove to him his species won't survive, but he won't budge from his belief till he's no longer alive. Oh, Frosty's not stupid, he just doesn't ever read. And it's just Fox News that he ever views, so he's never up to speed.
Thank you.
a musical interlude in the song parody from the Parody Project.
Frosty the Snowman doesn't have the climate blues. He supports the president, all he says, and the rest is just fake news. Frosty the Snowman thinks the liberals are snowflakes, brainwashed to try and raise the stakes.
It's not just him and Trump that say that climate change ain't real.
Climate change ain't real.
Cause most of Congress scoffs at Cortez and the Green New Deal. This is an issue that is neither left nor right.
Left or right.
It's about survival for us all. And we all must join the fight.
This is an issue that is neither left nor right.
It's about survival for us all.
And we all must join the fight.
It's snowing.
All right. Ah, oh, they're not done yet. All right, now they are. The Parody Project at parodyproject.com. A great rendition of Frosty the Snowman. Yeah. All right, so here we are. You watched the debate last night. By the way, phone lines are open, 954-889-6410, or you can Skype to Nicole Sandler. I don't have a call screener. It's just you and me. So when the phone rings, I'll answer it. You'll be on the air. If you're calling when someone else is on the air, it's just going to keep ringing. Wait till the person hangs up, and then we can get you. That's if you want to call in. One of the reasons I'm really looking forward to moving the show back live again on Progressive Voices is because there are more people listening during the live show and you guys call. So anyway, I didn't expect Tom Steyer to say, you know what, you're right. I should take that $100 million that I just have hanging around and fund a progressive media center. It just sounds like a no-brainer to me. One of the biggest problems facing us today, one of the reasons Donald Trump has the support of the lemmings across the country, is because of the Fox so-called news channel. You know, it's the original fake news. And he has state TV. It's something that Richard Nixon didn't have. And he's got somebody repeating his lies, his over 15,000 lies, documented by the Washington Post, by the way. All right, well, let's go to the phones. I know this one. Hello.
Hi, this is David calling from Coral Springs.
Yes, David, this is my husband. Hi.
Hi. Yep. So as we discussed last night, the debate, I thought they're descending. They're getting worse, it seems like, every debate. It was great that there were fewer people on the stage, so things were allegedly more substantive. The problem was they didn't force these candidates to answer the questions.
No.
When someone, Joe Biden, went on and on and on, I can't remember exactly what the question was that he was asked, but he didn't even attempt to answer the question. Elizabeth Warren, she's my second favorite candidate,
mm-hmm.
but she has a propensity to do a horrible job of going on and on and on,
right,
without answering the question. She dances around the question. She seems like she wants to answer the question, but either she's not prepared to answer that particular issue, to address that particular issue, or she doesn't want to address that particular issue because it's a difficult one for her to address.
Mm-hmm.
And in that case, then that speaks very poorly as regards her candidacy. Another thing that I haven't heard anyone address is, why was this debate taking place at a private Catholic college? Democratic candidates should not be supporting a private Catholic college as a place to have their debate.
Good point.
If they're going to have it at a college, it should be at a public school.
Okay.
Paid for by taxpayers.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a big miss for I believe it was Warren, as well as maybe even Bernie, in regard to Buttigieg's position on paying for college.
Yeah.
He said that, you know, because somebody's wealthy, that they should not get free state school. Well, they get free state elementary school. Not free, but they pay for
they
it
pay for
with
in
their
taxes. Right.
The same way as they would be paying for their kids' college in taxes. Mm-hmm. And there's no reason why, despite their wealth, and we discussed last night, people don't want somebody's economic status, if they're poor, to prevent them from getting an education in a state school. Well, because their parents are rich, that should not prevent them from getting an education in a state school either.
Right.
Other than that, I enjoyed the interview with Steyer. Yeah, I agree with you. He wasn't going to, you know, jump up and say, you're right, Nicole, mm-hmm. here's a check. But I do believe you got your point across as effectively as you could have. I don't know that he wasn't listening to you. I think he may have been listening to you because he countered what you said really well in terms of your saying that he didn't have any background. I thought that he came back with a pretty decent answer to that I've done this and that. You know, I don't know how he did it except for possibly funding people to lobby the legislatures in California and the other states mm-hmm. that he's done work in. But beyond that, I thought that he could not have said that had he not been listening to you.
Gotcha.
I just, you know, think he's got his idea that he's going to do this, and he's determined to do it, and good luck to him. I'd rather see him than Biden or Buttigieg, and God knows I'd rather see Jackson than Trump. So with those words of wisdom, I will let you go.
All right. Thank you, David. I'll see you in a little while. Love you, too. That was my husband, in case you were wondering. To whoever was calling in, I have a way to, like, put you on hold, but somebody was impatient. So 954-889-6410 is the number, or you can Skype to Nicole Sandler, all one word. All right, so let's listen to some of what went on last night. I just had it up, and I think I lost it now. Real quickly, it's not going to be real quick. How about I wanted to get the back and forth between, here's one clip. It's, I actually thought Amy Klobuchar did a really good job last night. I don't like her. I don't think she'd be the right president because I believe she's too conservative, but my goodness, she had a strong night last night. Here's her answer. Well, here's a little bit of Amy Klobuchar going up against Mayo Pete.
I look at this a different way. When we were in the last debate, Mayor, you basically mocked the 100 years of experience on the stage. And what do I see on this stage? I see Elizabeth's work starting the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. Ooh. And helping 29 million people. I see the vice president's work in getting $2 billion for his cancer moonshot. I see Senator Sanders' work of working to get the veterans bill passed across the aisle. And I see what I've done, which is to negotiate 3 farm bills and be someone that actually had major provisions put in those bills. So while you can dismiss committee hearings, I think this experience works. And I have not denigrated your experience as a local official. I have been one. You know, I just think you should respect our experience when you look at how you evaluate someone who can get things done.
Thank you, Senator. Mr. Mayor, I'll give you a chance to respond.
You actually did denigrate my experience, Senator, and it was before the break, and I was going to let it go because we got bigger fish to fry here.
Oh, my God.
You implied
I don't
that
think
my
we
relation-
have bigger fish to fry than picking a president of the United States.
You're right.
All right. Score one for Amy.
And before the break, you seemed to imply that my relationship to the First Amendment was a talking point, up here has any more or less commitment to the Constitution than anybody else up here. Let me tell you about my relationship. To the
Every
First
time
Amendment.
Pete speaks, it it's like he's speechifying.
That I raised
I,
my
I think
right
the music,
hand
the patriotic music, should
life.
Come up under
that
him.
That is my experience, and it may not be the same as yours, but it counts.
No,
Senator.
not when you're trying to be president.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Senator Klobuchar, you have 45 seconds to respond.
I certainly respect your military experience. That's not what this is about. This is about choosing a president. And I know my view of this is I know you ran for to be chair of the Democratic National Committee. That's not something that I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. I want to be president of the United States. And the point is, we should have someone heading up this ticket that has actually won and been able to show that they can gather the support that you talk about of moderate Republicans and independents, as well as a fired up Democratic base. And not just done it once, I have done it three times.
Ooh, three
times. I think
times.
Winning matters. I think a track record of getting
make
things
fun.
Done
it's
matters.
True. She has
and
won.
I also think showing our party that we can actually bring people with us, have a wider tent, have a bigger coalition, and yes, longer coattails, that matters.
Thank you, Senator.
Oh, wait, and yet he persists.
I got to respond to that.
Got to respond to that.
Senator, I know that if you just go by vote totals, maybe what goes on in my city seems small to you. If you want to talk about the capacity to win, try putting together a coalition to bring you back to office with 80% of the vote as a gay dude in Mike Pence's Indiana.
Oh, okay. I hope they let this play. Hold on. Did they let this play out? No, they cut it off right there, which really kind of pisses me off, because what she says next is that would be the case if you won. All right, here we go.
Office with 80% of the vote as a gay dude in Mike Pence's Indiana.
Okay, now we'll get Amy Klobuchar's comeback.
If you had won in Indiana, that would be one thing. You tried and you lost by 20 points.
He lost by 20 points. He's touting that he put together this coalition in the state of Indiana, Mike Pence's Indiana. And he lost by 20 points. What does he not understand? Oh my God. All right. So there was a lot more. Who do I think won last night? Well, I would say Bernie Sanders. Again, I think Amy Klobuchar. Whoops. No, we already heard you, Amy. Hold on. I want to find this other video. I want to find, there was a great exchange between Elizabeth Warren and Mayo Pete. You know, Mayo Pete really was the target yesterday, as he should be, because he's been rising in the polls. I'll tell you what, while I'm looking for this clip, I'm going to play for you another one. This is Bernie Sanders answering a question about something that Barack Obama said. Seriously, here we go.
Let's make things interesting. Former President Obama said this week, when asked who should be running countries, that if women were in charge, you'd see a significant improvement on just about everything.
Yes!
He also said, quote, if you look at the world and look at the problems, it's usually old people, usually old men, not getting out of the way.
Kind
Senator
of a slam
Sanders,
on Bernie, huh?
You are the oldest candidate on stage this
and
evening.
And I'm white as well.
That was yes. a joke
How
that failed.
How do you respond to what the former president had
well,
to say?
I got a lot of respect for Barack Obama. I think I disagree with him on this one. Maybe a little self-serving, but I do disagree. Here is the issue. The issue is where power resides in America. And it's not white or black or male or female. We are living in a nation increasingly becoming an oligarchy, where you have a handful of billionaires who spend hundreds of millions of dollars buying elections and politicians. You have more income and wealth inequality today than at any time since the 1920s. We are the only major country on earth not to guarantee health care for all people, which is why we need Medicare for all. We are facing an existential crisis of climate change. The issue is not old or young, male or female. The issue is working people standing up, taking on the billionaire class, and creating a government and economy that works for all, not just the 1%.
Thank you, Senator Sanders.
You go, Bernie Sanders. I love Bernie. I think he nailed it last night. All right. I found the other clip I was looking for. So Elizabeth Warren and Mayo Pete got into it over fundraising. Now, apparently there's been some sparring on the campaign trail, most notably in Iowa, where they're really slugging it out. And Mayo Pete, has been holding these big dollar fundraisers. Now, he said that he'll open up all his fundraisers to the press, but he's not doing that. Hold on one second. Someone else is calling in. Let's see who this is, if it'll work. Hi, who's this? Hello?
Hello.
Hi, yes, that's you. I'm sorry?
Calling from the 202 area?
Yes. Hi, who is this?
Yes, this is Ryan. I just want to talk about the interview with Steyer.
Okay.
I don't think he seems to have an agenda at all because he did not answer any questions, and I don't know how he made his money.
Well, I didn't ask him about how he made his money. He made his money because he built up an investment firm. He's a hedge fund manager. That's how he made his money. You have money to start, and then you make more money, and you make more money by investing more money in other people's money. And, you know, that's how he made his money. But I didn't ask. I didn't waste time on that, frankly.
Yeah, but the important thing that his money can be spent better. It could be spent setting up different organizations, different think tank, different... Mm-hmm. ways to invest
funding
it,
a progressive media outlet funding yeah. you know yeah, I mean, getting us back on the air yeah
yeah like you know helping out move on or some other organization to kind of help bring this country back to what he was originally prior to this clown being in the White House and I think it should have been a little bit more harder so the next billionaire you bring on you don't need to hold back. You need to be the real Nicole Sanders straight up. Okay, thank you
for the advice. I was really trying hard to be polite, not to be rude. I didn't want to be angry. Look, I do that. I'm that enough. I wanted to be cordial. I wanted him, frankly, to say, you know what, great point. Let's us talk off the air. Let's see what we can do about getting progressive voices back on the public airwaves. The airwaves are owned by the people. Owned by the people. It's the public airwaves. Now, I'm not talking about cable because that's cable companies, but over-the-air radio, over-the-air television, those are the public airwaves, and they're dominated by right-wing extremists, and it's just fucking wrong. All right, I found the clip I wanted to play. This is, yeah, this is a good one. It's Elizabeth Warren taking on Pete Buttigieg. All right, let's go.
Can't help but feel that might have been directed at me. And here's the thing. We're in the fight of our lives right now. Donald Trump and his allies have made it abundantly clear that they will stop at nothing.
Yeah.
Not even foreign interference to hold on to power. They've already put together more than $300 million. This is our chance. This is our only chance to defeat Donald Trump. And we shouldn't try to do it with one hand tied behind our back. The way we're going to win is to bring everybody to our side in this fight. If that means that you're a grad student digging deep to go online to PeteForAmerica.com and chip in 10 bucks, that's great. And if you can drop $1,000 without blinking, that's great, too. We need everybody's help in this fight. I'm not going to turn away anyone who wants to help us defeat Donald Trump. We need Democrats who've been with us all along, yes, but we also need independents worried about the direction of the country. If you were a Republican, disgusted with what's going on in your own party, we're not going to agree on everything.
See, every time he opens his mouth, it's a flowery speech. Have you noticed? He doesn't just speak. He doesn't just talk. All right, Elizabeth Warren.
Wait, Senator Warren, 45 seconds to respond.
45 seconds.
So the mayor just recently had a fundraiser that was held in a wine cave full of crystals and served $900 a bottle wine.
Ooh.
Think about who comes to that. He had promised that every fundraiser he would do would be open door, but this one was closed door.
Yep.
We made the decision many years ago that rich people in smoke-filled rooms would not pick the next president of the United States.
Boom!
Billionaires in wine caves should not pick the next president of the United States.
Mr. Mayor, your response.
You know, according to Forbes magazine, I am literally the only person on this stage who's not a millionaire,
or a billionaire.
You're also 30 years younger than them all.
This is important.
You're still a child.
This is
You're 35 years old. They weren't millionaires or billionaires at your age either, idiot.
If I pledged never to be in the company of a progressive Democratic donor, I couldn't be up here. Senator, your net worth is 100 times mine. Now, supposing that you went home feeling
she's twice
the
your age.
Spirit, I know this isn't likely, but stay with me, and decided to go on to PeteForAmerica.com and give the maximum allowable the
unlikely
by law, $2,800.
To be cordial? Unbelievable.
Would that
what a rude fuck he is.
Because it came from a wealthy person? No, I would be glad to have that support. We need the support from everybody who is committed to helping us defeat Donald Trump.
They're not done yet.
We would like to bring in everyone, but obviously, Senator Warren, I'd like to give you a chance to respond.
I do not sell access to my time. I don't do call time with millionaires and billionaires.
Sorry, as of when, Senator?
I don't meet behind closed doors.
Gloves are
with
off.
With big dollar donors. And look, I've taken one that ought to be an easy step for everyone here. I've said to anyone who wants to donate to me, if you want to donate to me, that's fine. But don't come around later expecting to be named ambassador. Because that's what goes on in these high dollar fundraisers. I said no, and I asked everybody on this stage to join me. This ought to be an easy step, and here's the problem. If you can't stand up and take the steps that are relatively easy, can't stand up to the wealthy and well-connected when it's relatively easy, when you're a candidate, then how can the American people believe you're going to stand up to the wealthy and well-connected when you're president and it's really hard?
Good question. Good question.
I've got to respond. If you say no to a donor, then you have no business running for office in the first place. But also, Senator, your presidential campaign right now, as we speak, is funded in part by money you transferred, having raised it at those exact same big-ticket fundraisers you now denounce. Did it corrupt you, Senator? Of course not. So to denounce the same kind of fundraising guidelines that President Obama went by, that Speaker Pelosi goes by, that you yourself went by until not long ago, in order to build the Democratic Party and build a campaign ready for the fight of our lives,
all right,
these
enough,
purity
Pete.
Tests shrink the stakes of the most important election.
Judy,
It's not a purity test. It's saying we will not hold these big dollar fundraisers. We will not do closed door fundraisers. I will not take ridiculous amounts of money from the billionaire class. In fact, there's a clip, if I can find it, about Bernie calling out how much each has of every other candidate has taken from the billionaires. But I see my husband's back on the line, and I'm glad because David is a wine person. So, David, do you know what a wine cave is?
Yeah, I've been in them.
Yeah, what is it? It's like a wine cellar?
A wine cave. Well, what it is and what they've done in Napa, which is where the Hall Winery is, they've taken hills or mountains, and they've drilled essentially giant holes into them to create a cave to recreate the type of setting that there is in France, for example, where they store the wine once it's made in an actual cave.
Okay. All right.
So the reason that I called in, though, was I have to give Joe Biden tremendous credit.
Why?
Because he did not say Gesundheit when that one reporter asked him about Afghanistan.
And he said, you mean Afghanistan?
She said, yes, Afghanistan.
We learned something.
I give Joe props for that.
Okay, that was it? That's what you called back about?
That was I called back about.
Okay. All right. Thanks, David.
Bye.
Yeah, she did. And I don't have that clip up. Where's the one that, let's see if I can find it. Yeah, I'm not organized here. So, who else? Yang. Let me talk about Yang for a minute because somebody in the chat room said, you know, he was interesting. He is interesting. He's an interesting guy. I think he can be Secretary of Workforce Innovation or something, helping to get people back to work. The overlord, if you will, of AI. because God knows we don't have anyone in government who knows what the hell they're doing about artificial intelligence, and it's kind of frightening. But what happened with, let me just, if I can find this, it was on, there was a tweet that I saw that freaked me out. And of course, now I can't find it. So Pete Buttigieg, let me see if I can, God, where is it? Damn. All right, now I can't find it. Maybe I put it under likes. So Pete Buttigieg, not Pete Buttigieg, Yang. And he's been on the show, Andrew Yang. I like Yang. I think he's smart. I think he brings a different perspective to, to government that we don't have there right now. I can't find it. But basically, Mike Memoli from NBC News said that, tweeted that he spoke to Andrew Yang last night after the debate, and Yang told him that he would probably pardon Donald Trump. Here it is. Yang told me after the last debate that he would consider pardoning Trump. Period. I'm sorry. To me, that disqualifies him. No good. You're done. Sorry. That's all. End of story. He threw himself out of contention in my book. Not that he was ever in contention, but certainly for a cabinet post, he would pardon Donald Trump. Seriously? All right, here's the clip I was looking for. Bernie calling out the other candidates who took money from billionaires. Gotta love Bernie Sanders.
Senator Sanders, I am rather proud. Maybe, I don't know, the only candidate up here doesn't have any billionaire contributions. But you know what I do have? We have received more contributions from more individuals than any candidate in the history of the United States of America at this point in an election, averaging $18 apiece. Now, there's a real competition going on up here. My good friend Joe, and he is a good friend, he's received contributions from 44 billionaires. Pete, on the other hand, is trailing. Pete, you only got 39 billionaires contributing. So, Pete, we look forward to you. I know you're an energetic guy and a competitive guy to see if you could take on Joe on that issue. But what is not a laughing matter, my friends, this is why three people own more wealth than the bottom half. This is why Amazon and other major corporations pay zero in federal taxes. We need to get money out of politics. We should run our campaigns on that basis.
Thank you, Senator Sanders.
Yes, we should. Hold on. Whoops. Okay, so back. I was looking for, there was a great clip. Bernie's great. Really, come on, people. Bernie Sanders would have beaten Trump in 2016. And give him the chance again, he can beat him now. All right, I got one more clip I want to play for you. We heard Tom Steyer talking about as if he's the only person who cares about climate change. I did an interview with Bernie Sanders. It must have been in maybe 2012. I'll see if I can dig it out this weekend and share this part with you because it's very prescient. Back in 2012, and yes, I've interviewed Bernie over the years so many times before he ever even thought of running for president. And I remember asking him in one of these interviews, what would you say is the biggest national security threat facing our country today? And he thought about it. And he said, climate change. This was so before its time. It was before anybody else would have said that. I will pull it out. I will play it for you next week if I can find. Well, it was from 2012, so I have it. It's just the 2019 stuff that I lost. All right, here's one more Bernie clip that I got to share with you because he's just so good.
Senator Sanders, I do want to put the same question to you, Senator Sanders. What message do you think?
I will answer that question, but I wanted to get back to the issue of climate change for a moment because I do believe this is the existential issue.
Senator, with all respect, this question is about race. Can you answer the question as it was asked?
All right, that wasn't the clip I thought it was, but I'm glad it played.
People of color, in fact, are going to be the people suffering most if we do not deal with climate change.
I got to say that I honestly I haven't watched much of the PBS NewsHour lately. Seriously, since Gwen Ifill died, because I just don't think it's what it was. But I don't know who that woman is. But I thought she was really rude. I thought she's the one who said Afghanistan. No, you know, I'm sorry. It's Afghanistan. We're in America. And then she corrected Joe Biden when he said Afghanistan. She said, no, Afghanistan. I know it's petty on my part, but what can I tell you? I'm petty sometimes. I thought he was trying to make a point. She cut him off and made it sound like he was, you know, pushing aside people of color to talk about his chosen subject when he was trying to make a point. She cut him off. She didn't cut anyone else off. She cut him off another time, too, just saying sometimes these corporate media people show their true colors. Sorry, obviously she's not a Bernie Sanders fan, and it showed. All right, I found the clip that I wanted to play for you. I only have the audio of it. I don't know where the video is. This is Bernie Sanders and Joe Biden sparring about health care.
Vice President Biden, I'd like to bring you in. You spent an awful lot of time 10 years ago trying to pass a bill far less ambitious than what Senator Sanders is talking about here. Is he being realistic?
I don't think it is realistic, but let me explain why. I introduced a plan to build on Obamacare. It remind everybody, 20 million people got insurance, didn't have it before. All people with pre-existing conditions were able to be covered. That could go on. We didn't get all that we wanted. But now that it's been exposed, that taking it away has such dire consequences, I've added to the Obamacare plan the Biden initiative, which is a public option, Medicare, if you want to have Medicare, for reducing significantly the price of drugs, deductibles, et cetera, by underwriting the plan to a tune of about $750 billion, mm-hmm. and making sure that we're able to cover everyone who is, in fact, able to be covered. Hey, put your hand down for a second, Bernie, okay?
Bernie.
Just waving to you, Joe.
I know.
Saying hello.
I know. So, look, it covers everybody. It's realistic. And most importantly, it lets you choose what you want. Here, you have 160 million people negotiated their health care plans with their employer, like many of you have. You may or may not like it. If you don't like it, you can move into the public option that I propose in my plan.
And there won't be enough savings.
Come on,
Bernie.
All right, you shouldn't have Washington dictating to you. You cannot keep the plan you have.
Thank you, Vice President Biden. Senator Sanders, 45 seconds to respond.
Under Joe's plan, essentially, we retain the status quo.
That's not true.
It is exactly true.
Thank you.
And
by the way, Joe, under your plan, you know, you asked me how we're going to pay for it. Under your plan, I'll tell you how we're paying for it right now. The average worker in America, their family makes $60,000 a year. That family is now paying $12,000 a year for health care, 20% of the income. Under Medicare for All, that family will be paying $1,200 a year, because we're eliminating the profiteering of the drug companies and the insurance companies and ending this Byzantine and complex administration of thousands of separate health care plans.
Senator Klobuchar, I'm going to come to you.
My name was mentioned.
Yes, I'm going to come to you, but 45 seconds interrupted. 45 seconds for Vice President
Biden. All right, I'm going to interrupt now. It costs $30 trillion. Let's get that straight. $30 trillion over 10 years. Some say it costs $20 trillion. Some say it costs $40. The idea that you're going to be able to save that person making $60,000 a year on Medicare for All is absolutely preposterous. 16% of the American public is on Medicare now, and everybody has a tax taken out of their paycheck now. Tell me, you're going to add 84% more, and there's not going to be higher taxes? At least before he was honest about it.
Joe.
It's going to increase personal taxes. They're going to be...
That's right. We are going to increase personal taxes. Okay. But we're eliminating premiums.
Thank you.
We're eliminating co-payments.
Yes. Yep.
We're eliminating deductibles. We're eliminating all out-of-pocket expenses. And no family in America will spend more than $200 a year on prescription drugs.
Okay.
Senator Klobuchar, our plan will save.
Hell yeah.
Senator Klobuchar, we'd like to hear from you.
Okay. And it went on from there. So that's kind of how it went last night. Again, if I had to grade, if I had to pick a winner, I'd say Bernie. It pains me to say it. Amy Klobuchar had a good night, but maybe she'll take Joe Biden down a couple of notches, which in my book would be a good thing. I thought Elizabeth Warren did okay, but she needs to start answering the questions head on instead of coming up with flowery campaign speech answers. All right, that's it. We're done. Have a great weekend, everyone. See you Tuesday. Actually, see you Monday in for the broadcast. Monday's Festivus. Be prepared.